Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today is John Gugliotta, the proud owner of five Paul Davis franchise locations based in the Northeast, now in his 10th year of being a franchisee. This franchise organization provides services to clean up and repair damage to residential and commercial properties due to water, fire, mold, storm, or other disasters. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. I know I gave a brief overview of who you are and what you do within your franchise, but I'd love if you could share with our listeners more about that, perhaps how you got started. Feel free to just dive right in.
Sure. Paul Davis Restoration is a full service restoration company. Our main headquarters is based in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. We help people in a time of need. If anybody's ever had a flood or fire or mold situation at their house, it can be devastating. And we essentially go in from start to finish. So if you have a flood, we come in, we clean up all the water, we dry it all out. We help you through the insurance process. We guide the customer through the natural progression and the feeling of what am I going to do? My most prized possession is ruined. We help them put their house back together the way it was. It's a fun business. It's unique, but this business is based on weather, and stuff happens to people's houses, and a lot of times customers have never been in that situation. So helping them with that is really, it's really kind of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd love to back up a little bit, knowing that Paul Davis is a franchise. So I'd love to back up and talk more about what you did before opening your franchise locations, and then what perhaps inspired you or opened you up to the ability or possibility of becoming a franchisee.
Sure. I started as I was never very good at school. School really just wasn't my thing. I liked people. I liked helping people, but school, not so much. So when I was about 20 years old, I started in the cleaning business. I was cleaning buildings every night, emptying trash, mopping floors, cleaning bathrooms. And I did that for about 3 years before I decided to open my own business doing that. I had several accounts. Tiffany & Company Jewelry Factory was actually my first account. From there, I got into more of a niche business, which is the post-construction cleaning business. We go in after construction on large commercial projects, and we clean their building and make it look brand new. And through that process, I saw a lot of buildings under construction that had floods. And I said, maybe I could get into that. So I decided to look into the franchise models and looked at many franchise systems. And decided to take a big leap and open another company, which was Paul Davis Restoration. After, like I said, years of not years, but months and months of vetting out other restoration companies and which one I wanted to partner with. So it was pretty cool. It was big leap at the time. Didn't really know what I was doing. Pretended it pretty well. and from there, just surrounded myself with a lot of good people, a lot of really good people.
Nice. And I'd love to dive further into the franchise part specifically, because I feel like a lot of people are turned off to the idea of becoming a franchisee. And so I'd love to kind of hear more about your thought process of what made you choose to become a franchisee rather than opening your own business. And then also why you chose Paul Davis compared to any others that you might have come across.
Sure. Even currently, I own a non-franchise system company that I originally started back in the day that does the post-construction cleaning, and I have a franchise system, franchise business with Paul Davis. I really feel passionate about this subject because I hear people say, "Oh no, franchises are bad." Not bad, but they downplay them, and I think it's because they're really not informed. Because of the downside of each of them, and there's an upside to each of them, but the upside for a franchise system is far greater. For example, when I started my other business, everything we did from the day one was build up all of our systems, our processes, our procedures, our data, our software. And every year that changes, right? Every couple of years, you have to kind of reinvent the wheel. With a franchise model, you might pay a royalty, but on the backside, you're getting a lot of that system and support that ultimately you would pay for anyways if you open your own business. So the royalty part of it, yeah, it hurts the bigger you get, but in the end, I think the value of a franchise system, especially a good franchise system, it can pay dividends in the future, because if everybody in the franchise system is following the same model and the same process, but still be allowed to be independently owned and operated, you know, it just pays you back so much more. It makes your company more valuable. And if my neighboring franchise in New York does really well and they make a name for themselves, it only increases the value of my business, right? And why I picked Paul Davis, it was a no-brainer. It was about our, walking down, going through all these other franchise systems in the restoration space. They were pretty cool. But Paul Davis itself was visiting their headquarters down in Jacksonville, Florida. As soon as you walked in, it's like, these guys are different. And there's their values and their mission statement and their core, you know, their core selves is really what drew me to it, that they really care about their people. They care about their offices. They care about their employees. They care about their customers. And to me, that was a differentiator that I don't think I've ever seen another operation like that. And if you are not in that mold where you want to do the right thing, then you're not a good franchise person for this franchise system. So I can't say enough about Paul Davis as a franchise system.
No, that's great. And I mentioned in your bio that you currently own 5 locations. So let's dive a little bit further into how, like, which locations you own, if they're in certain areas or whatnot. Sure. And then also how you kind of manage all of them and like being able to just juggle all of them and remain successful in what you do.
Well, I started out as one small office in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. And we just did really, we cleaned up after floods. We just came in and dried the building. We sucked up the water. We took care of the customer, but we didn't do any of the reconstruction sort of part of the job. And that's a big part of Paul Davis now, is being able to do the reconstruction. So, at that time, I just had that one little office, and I got a call from the gentleman in Rhode Island that had owned the Paul Davis franchise down there, and he was selling. And I said, I didn't even know if I had the money to buy it, but I literally wrote back, yes, I could do that. And I went, oh, no, what am I going to do? So you do it an entrepreneur does, and you go and you just make it happen. But from there, I got another phone call from neighboring office that was looking to sell, older gentleman. And same thing. I didn't have the money. I said, I'll figure it out. So then I became two units, two franchises, one in North Attleboro, one in Rhode Island, and one in like Metro West Boston. So we owned those. I've owned those for quite a few years. And then recently, there's an office in Southern New Hampshire. That me being really one of the leaders in the Paul Davis network, I get to know a lot of the other owners. So they trusted me and they confided in me. And this person was looking to retire and asked me if I would be interested in buying that out. And that's in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. So I ended up, same thing. How am I going to do this? I was a little better shape then, but I ended up buying that out. So now that's where we are, the New Hampshire, Southern New Hampshire. Essex County, Massachusetts, a lot of Middlesex County, Massachusetts, Norfolk County, Bristol County, and all of Rhode Island. So our population is about right now about 2.3 million that we service.
That's awesome. And with owning all these different locations, how do you find that you're able to kind of get through the day to day with just being able to manage it all without feeling overwhelmed or like you have too much on your plate?
Plus having 4 children.
I'm one of 4, so I get that.
yep. You know, That's a really hard question to answer. Because I am always built to be an entrepreneur. I was built to be one. And I always tackle too much. And I don't say I bite off more than I could chew. I just don't know how much I could chew, right? So I just keep taking on more things, but I never do it without having the full support staff under me. I would rather build my team rather than build my customer base so that when my customer base calls me, I have the team to do that. So truly, it was more about learning how to delegate. Hiring really good people that thought like me, that talked like me, that had the same vision, not the same so much the same vision, but would help me with my vision and help me with, I'm a visionary. So for somebody, or if I talk to my staff here, I have a vision of X and, they're the ones that have to make it happen. And I want it to go like that. But I also realized that, they have to take my vision and calm it down and make my vision come to reality as I still continue to juggle everything else. But it really comes down to really hiring the right people. And most people here don't leave. Take care of them. A couple personal values, which is I take care of my family first, I take care of my employees second, and I take care of my customers third, in that order. And I continue to live like that, where you take care of people, they're going to take care of you. You do one to others as you want done to yourself. And it's, if you stick with that model, people understand it, be a real person, be true to yourself, and just be kind. And don't act like a boss, because the word boss is not really, there's really not much gratifying about that. It really isn't. It's just, we're the same team. I just have more responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And so knowing that you've grown your team throughout these locations, what would you say is your role now? Like, what are the primary responsibilities or tasks that you focus on?
It's still visionary things. It's still strategic moves. Right now, I'm in the process of purchasing another location in Massachusetts. So that's taken up about 6 weeks of my life just making that happen. I wouldn't say behind the scenes, but I've limited myself to, I have really four direct reports that report to me, and making sure that their KPIs are set, and always keeping track of something. Like, I always dig into something, even if like a financial stuff. I wasn't ever a math genius in school, but I realized that X minus Y equals profit, right? And always looking at my profit and loss statement and saying, okay, what's this? Digging into something, just paying attention all the time, as well as taking care of the visionary things. And as we grow, we need more equipment, we need more trucks, we need more buildings. So kind of the stuff that really, if I wasn't here, that people would probably say, oh my God, I didn't realize how much John did.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. But always maintaining a smile on my face too, that, no matter how good things are, or bad things are, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. So with that being said, then how do you take time away from the business? So maintaining that work-life balance, if you feel like you have a work-life balance, and being able to take a step back and focus on getting some time for yourself.
I don't really do that very well.
I feel like most entrepreneurs don't.
Yeah. I have a house up in northern New Hampshire, a 30-acre piece of property. It's right in the mountains. So I try to go up there, and it sounds so stupid, but I like to cut my grass. I have a big mower, and I put my headphones on, I cut my grass. I really try to spend a lot of time with my kids. They're home this summer. They're going back to college pretty soon. They'll all be back in school next week, three in college. And, we go to concerts, and we just try to do fun things, eat dinner together. And, my focus when they're home in the summer is to spend as much time as possible with them. We have a really good relationship. And then when they go back to school, it's tough on mom and dad when they're gone, but it's a little bit of a break. But I find myself working even more when that happens. But, I'm all about family, and they come 100% first. And that's my employees too. I tell them that it's family, and it's work. And you have to have a good work-life balance, but I don't always practice what I preach because I don't take a lot of vacations. I don't know really if I go away, it's usually for a conference for work, but people think I'm on vacation. How was your vacation? I'm like, it was great. It wasn't a vacation, but I like to learn. So, I'm not that old, but I want to prepare myself so that I don't have to do this when I'm 60 years old, right?
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. And you
yeah.
mentioned being in the process of buying another location. So I'm really interested by hearing more about that process. Like when someone is interested in buying a business, whether it's a franchise or whether it's just a regular standalone business, like what are some things that you look for to know if it's the right choice? Like, do you have like a list of things that you run through? Like, I'd love to hear more about that process.
Number one, it's my gut feeling.
I know you can't like ignore that.
Never, never. Your gut usually doesn't lie. I'm a pretty good judge of people, and judge of character, but it starts with, starts with that. Like, how is the owner? How is his staff? What is their reputation? Do they have Google reviews? They have good reputation or bad reputation? Google drives a lot, right? In addition to that, I would say from there you got to do the due diligence. Are they profitable? Are they making money as an owner? Are they doing their books properly? I can usually tell within 5 minutes of looking at somebody's profit and loss statement in their balance sheet whether they're a healthy company. And it's not to say that I wouldn't pull the trigger on something that wasn't super healthy because I would always bet on myself and my team that we could turn it around. But it is really important to always be prepared to have your business ready to sell, right? Like if I could add one piece of advice to many entrepreneurs out there, it's like, yes, there's many perks of running your business, but if you're doing the right things, you're recording things right, you're showing a profit, you're paying a tax, that's the law. And if you're paying a tax, it means you made money. So, the goal isn't to not pay taxes. The goal is to make sure that you're providing a good life for everybody and creating wealth in the company so that you can take on new challenges, have the money to fund that, and ultimately sell your business. So it's many factors. It really is. That stuff is fun to me, though. I really enjoy that. And I like turning things around and turn around businesses that are struggling, and I've taken over businesses that are doing great. And again, just keep surrounding myself with good people.
Yes, absolutely. And with the different locations that you've bought, like, is it intentional, the areas or the geographic locations do you choose? Like, do you do specific research about that? Like, I'd love to hear more about the geography portion of it.
Strategically, yes, we absolutely look at location as far as our market penetration. Being in a franchise system, sometimes you're held to some standards or some rules that aren't necessarily that can restrict you a little bit. So the more broad presence you have and broad open space that you can cover, because typically you don't want to have more than one office covering more than a million people, right? You just can't get to everybody. And it's fine and well until something really bad happens, like a big massive ice dams or floods or hurricanes. I don't get them around here a lot, but we do live in New England. We have the oldest homes. We have basements, we have attics, we have insulation. Lots of parts of the country don't have that. So when something catastrophic happens, you have to be prepared, you have to be present, and you have to make sure that you can hit everybody that is in need of our services. And if you aren't strategically placed, you're not going to be there in time. If you're not there in time, that's the rule, right? You got to be there on time. So
Yes,
we
definitely.
practice immediacy. We try to practice immediacy here.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, how would you say most of your clients or customers come to you? Is it insurance-based? Is it other contractors that are sending people your way? Maybe even the homeowners directly? How would you describe kind of like the referrals that come through?
It varies. A lot of our work is residential, from the insurance carrier, which ultimately the homeowner calls the carrier. I have a problem. The carrier refers us because we're a preferred vendor for that person. We try to also focus on commercial loss, commercial buildings. But you got to remember that anybody that calls us doesn't want to call us. They didn't go looking to have something happen to their house. So, it's if you got to make the phone ring, and when it rings, you feel bad. We had a loss this weekend where it was a sizable fire in a neighboring town of ours. And just looking at the pictures of these people's houses, like I own the business. It's good for business for me. But on the other hand, I mean, I look at these people's houses, I'm like, wow, can you imagine if that was my family being displaced from a fire when you lost everything? So, you just got to keep that in mind that customer is a customer, no matter where they're coming from, whether it be residential, whether it be somebody I know, whether it be commercial. Always keep the same message. Just keep the culture alive that we take care of our customer no matter what. We don't really care where they came from. We just want to make sure that they're happy when we're done with them.
Yes. And so it sounds like a lot of compassion and empathy is required for the work that you do.
100%. It's emotional for people. Some people might handle it differently than others, but if you lost everything in your house and all your pictures of your children and your wedding dress and that stuff, it sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so do you, knowing that you're going to have, is it 6 locations eventually once this one goes through?
Yes.
Do you see yourself expanding beyond that? Like, what are your plans within the next year or 5 years, however long it may be, with Paul Davis?
My wife always says, when are you going to stop? And I said, stop what? And she said, when are you going to stop doing all this stuff? And I said, when I'm dead. I guess if the right opportunity comes, I would do that. But being an entrepreneur it's kind of addicting. And if I have the right staff around me, I'll look at anything. Absolutely. It's not so much about the money. It's about what I want to leave behind, right? Yeah. I want to leave behind something that's great and something that's sustainable for the future, whether I own it or somebody else owns it. So to answer that question, my eyes are always wide open. My head is always on a swivel. I'm always running in my head and walking in my body.
I love that. And did you say that you still own your post-construction cleanup company in addition to Paul Davis? So how do you juggle that? Like, how do you have not only the soon to be 6 locations for Paul Davis, but also that post-construction cleanup one?
Same thing. I have really good people there. That business is not even close to as big as the Paul Davis business. Still requires a little of my attention, but not as much. I wish I had more time to put some more attention to that. It needs a little bit more attention at times. But my general manager there has been with me for 22 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
My CFO for Paul Davis has been with me for 22 years. So, and we've been together a long time. Most of the people, like I said, stay with me. And I say, here's the keys to the city. Make it happen. Coach them when I need to. But I hire adults to do adult jobs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And knowing that you've caught the entrepreneurial bug, or you've had the entrepreneurial bug, do you see yourself one day starting a business that doesn't have to do with Paul Davis or the post-construction cleanup? Or do you feel like you've kind of found your sweet spot in your bread and butter?
In a perfect world, I love to cook. That's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love cooking. I would love to own a deli.
Oh, nice.
Like a really good Italian deli. And, I also would love to help support my kids start their own business. I'm not going to give my kids a business, but I will absolutely help them start one if they wanted to. But, if it was me and my two of my boys and my daughter, like the three of them will always seem to they're always watching me. They're always understanding. And they're going to college and they're like, oh man, we'd love to have a deli. I'm like, well, that's my idea. But if you want to have a deli, I'll make an awesome deli for you. Helping them start their own business, whatever they want to do, I would absolutely support. We had a conversation about that at dinner last night, where my daughter's thinking about, well, should I stay in sports management or should I go to criminal justice? And my boys, her brother, said, nope, stay in sports management. And I said, well, I don't know. Being in criminal justice as a female right now, I think, you could do well in both, but which one do you want to do? And they're like, well, she shouldn't be a police officer. I'm like, don't ask my advice if you don't want to listen. But whatever they want to do, I will support them. Watching them succeed and being their dad is that's what's most important, as long as they're happy.
Yes, absolutely. And for someone who's looking to join any type of franchise, whether it's through Paul Davis or any other type of industry, what advice would you have for them with just getting started?
Oof. To get started, it starts with the idea, right? Like, do I want to be an entrepreneur? Yes. Start with the idea of, like we talked about earlier in the show, do I want to have a franchise system or do I want to build a system myself? So do I want a foundation or do I want to dig my own hole and put the foundation in myself? That's hard to do. So do your homework with the pros and the cons of both, right? Make sure whatever franchise you're in, make sure that you vet them properly. Make sure that they are a solid company and that their core values and their culture is something that fits with you. And make sure you can make some money, right? And make sure that when you're opening it, that you're willing to not take a paycheck for a couple of years, or you're willing to scrape by to ultimately bank some more money so that you can develop a team under you. Any business can do that, but with a franchise system, I think it's important to make sure you look at the forest of the trees for sure.
Absolutely. As we get closer towards the end of this episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. So, would you say your favorite places are to pop around and frequent?
Here I am talking about franchises, and I think they're great, right? And Dunkin' Donuts is a massive franchise around us. Everybody knows that. There's one in every corner. And I'm not, I still like Dunkin' Donuts, but I still prefer every morning to stop at the same bagel and coffee shop that is independently owned and operated. They're not a Dunkin' Donuts, but I might pay a little bit more, but I always feel compelled to just go there. And a funny story, the place I go to every morning, I've gotten to know the gentleman that owns it. And he's just a really nice guy and young guy, entrepreneur. And I happen to be at my house in New Hampshire, which is 3 hours from here. And I turned around at the bagel coffee shop up there, another independent. And the guy that owns the one down here was behind me. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, my girlfriend lives up here and I wanted to come support the local shop up here. And I said, wow. I said, well, I live here and I live down in North Attleboro. But, it was pretty cool because we were both there as entrepreneurs supporting a non-franchise system. So it was pretty cool, but definitely restaurants and restaurant staff, stuff like that. I really feel those people work really, really hard. I worked in a restaurant for a few years as a kid, and you learn a lot doing that, a lot. So
Definitely.
supporting them is fun.
And what's the name of that coffee and bagel shop?
It's called Bagels and Cream.
Oh, so good.
It is. Really
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, good choice for that
I'm a
one.
sucker for a good bagel, so it's a cool place for sure. Good people.
Yes, definitely. Well, John, thank you so much for being a guest on today's episode. I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to interview you and have you share everything that you're doing within your Paul Davis locations. And now I'd love to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Oh, it's our website is teampauldavis.com. And that is a centralized website that we promote here for all of our franchises. We're located at 300 John Dietz Boulevard in North Attleboro. You can find me on LinkedIn at John Gugliotta. I think that's what it is. Yeah, John Gugliotta. I don't think it's probably not that many Gugliottas, but you never know. You'll see my face on the LinkedIn page, and more than willing to help out anybody that I can. If I have the time, I'll always help everybody. I love love watching people start their own business and giving them advice.
Perfect. And I'll link to those places in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today's show.
My pleasure, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.